a blue moon. It was good those people couldn't hear. Because I did all its song leading. But that's all right. I worked for the Lord. And he didn't care. Fruit theory. The fruit don't fall far from the tree. Well, last week you had the fruit. This week you got the tree. That was my daughter that brought that message last week and the one that did the opening today. So, tree and fruit. Praise God. It's good to see everyone this morning. Our pastor is away. But I want you to know one thing. Our pastor has already contacted this morning through text and is praying for our service. So we are on his mind this morning. So we need to pray for him, don't we? Hallelujah. You know, I don't know what more I could say than what the Holy Spirit has already done this morning and what he's already said. There's not a whole lot we can do and say after that, is it? Praise God. I don't know about you, but stuff like that just stirs my soul when a word is given. And it comes from the Holy Spirit. And I think to myself, who am I? What in the world am I going to get up here and say after a word like that? Praise God. But you know what? God has given me a message for this hour. He's given me this message, and I'm going to do my best to give to you what God has given to me this morning. Now, it might not come out with eloquent speech, as you already know, but it's going to come out. It's going to come out with a little southern slang. By the way, where is Jim this morning? I had a little crow to pick with Jim. I wanted to tease him a little bit. And when he sung that song, he said, excuse me, but it's got a little country twang to it. Well, guess what? You're going to get a little country twang this morning. And Jim's not going to be here to hear it, so you'll have to take it up with him when you see him again. You know, it's good that we can joke and laugh with one another like it is. Yes, it is. It's good to have humor amongst us. And you college students that are here today, boy, you've got a lot to go back and tell your classmates and your professors, man, we have a country service. You ever been to a country service? Well, we went to one this Sunday. But how many of you know that God can use country people? You know, I want to speak one language, and that's country. Can you believe this? We had a Spanish church here many years ago, and it started here in our church. And I was asked to preach the very first sermon with an interpreter. Now, you stop and think about that. Spanish and country. At one point, the little interpreter says, I'm preaching, and she says, stops, and she looks at me funny. She says, what did you say? But that's all right. We preach the message anyway. And how many of you know, not because of me, now don't take this that I'm saying it's because of me, but how many of you know today that church, that group of people have a beautiful church out on 138 Madison Heights today, and they have their own, they have their pastor, they have everything, and the church is growing. Yes, indeed. Praise God. God can use anyone, and God uses people. And thank God for our church that welcomed them in. And how many of you know that we have a Korean church that meets here? And from what I understand, we're going to have a Venezuelan church is going to begin to meet here also. And the Spanish meet here. Boy, I'm telling you, God is moving by his Spirit. Yes, indeed. I'm telling you, I like those things. Aren't you glad that we have a church that welcomes everyone? And if you look over our congregation, we are a multicultural church. Yes, we are. I thank God for those things. You say, will you get on with the sermon? I will. You just let me alone. I'm nervous. And I got to get over it a little bit. And I got to motivate you. That's what the military, when I was in the military, they sent me to this the speech class to speak in front of people. Man, I didn't want to do that. And the first thing they said is, you got to motivate your crowd. How many of you feel motivated this morning? All right, good. Good, praise God. But you know what? Thank God that we can come together as a church and pray and seek God and love on one another and forget all about our differences, forget about all our, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, forget about all our political views. We don't have to be politically correct, and we don't have to do that. We're just brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we have one common goal. That's loving Jesus and reaching heaven. Yes, praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Now, after all of that, you can turn to Luke 15. I want you to pray for me this week. I've got a couple more things I've got to do. My cousin passed away, lives in Maryland, and I'm going up tomorrow to preach his funeral. So I need you to pray for me, remember me in prayer, and then come across the other side. I'm coming back, and next Saturday I'm going to be officiating a wedding. We're burying one, and we're marrying one. But you know what? That's life, isn't it? Yes, it is. But thank God for His goodness and His grace towards us all. Our story, and I know most of you, you've already turned there. If you have, you know the story here that we're looking at this morning. We're looking at the prodigal son. And that prodigal describes a debased or extravagant life, a righteous living. And our story starts out this morning, but it's been said that this was one of the most beautiful stories ever told, considering what it represents, the seeking and the retrieving of the lost soul. Now, this story was given by Christ, the parable that was spoken before him. Before this was the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin also, and then Christ goes into here because of the audience that he had. He had the Pharisees and the scribes. He had the sinners and the tax collectors. And he had that audience there, and Christ was getting ready to teach them the story of the prodigal, the one that was lost and was found. And as we look into this story today, as I began to study this story, God began to show me my life. You see, now, I'm not going to pick on any of you today, because then you'll go tell Pastor Ron, well, he said something to me, brother, and he just told my nerves all to pieces. I think I'm going to have to leave the church, and I'll get my quarter plate on the way out the door. Oh, people do that. I didn't know if you know that or not. People really do that. We had a man that left church one time. He said, I want my tithes back. I could talk about him. He's not alive. So that's what he said. I want my tithes back. How many of you know that God gives us wonderful pastors with great wisdom? And the pastor looked at him and told his wife, he said, okay, honey, go cut him a check for all his tithes, but I also want you to notify the IRS that we have given him all of this money. Ooh. Thank God for wisdom. He changed his mind. Yes, immediately. You know, isn't it something how we change our minds? Oh, yes. It only takes one little sentence or one little word sometimes. And it just changes the whole idea that we had. You know, I remember leaving home. I told my dad, and this goes right along with my message here. We're going to start out in just a minute. You know, you never know what you're going to get with me. So that's just the way it is. But the parable of the lost son says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. He wanted to leave home. How many of you, especially you older people, now, some of you young ones in here, you haven't reached the age of 18 yet, just close your ears to this here.
because I don't want your parents coming back and say, you should have never said that statement because my kid's been bugging the life out of me. How many of you made that statement, when I get 18, I'm going to leave home? Yeah. You lie, you fry. You're sitting there looking at me with them pious eyes this morning, that self-righteous look. You know you said it. Sure you did. I said it a many a time. I'll be so glad when I can get away from home and get out from under my mom and my dad's rule. And this was what this young man was saying. I want to get out from under them. I don't want them telling me what to do no more. Let me get this thing out of my way before I trip on it. And that will not be pretty. I told my dad, I said, I'm quitting school and I'm leaving. My dad said, you got two choices. Thank God for good parents who won't stand and let their children tell them what they're going to do. But they tell the children, I'm the responsibility here. You see, dads, if you look in the Word of God, you're the spiritual leader of the household. And you're going to stand before God one of these days, and you're going to answer for your leadership in that family, and those children are going to stand there too. But they're going to give account for what they've done, and you're going to give account for what you've done. My dad said, son, you got two choices. You either get a job, or either you go in the military. So I chose the military. Guess what? You have to be careful of your choices sometimes. You may get just what you wish for. You see, this young man says, give me what's mine. Now, you know, I didn't tell my dad, give me what's mine, because it won't none. It won't none to get. Back then, they did that stuff, you know. The older got everything, the younger he got some. Well, there was five of us, and we didn't get none. We got what was there, and that was it. But we were blessed, and we were loved. Yes, indeed. We may not have had the finest, but let me tell you something. Two things that we had. We had love, and we was taught about Jesus Christ and the love of God. And that was worth more than any material things money could buy. Yes, indeed. This young man says, I want to leave home. I want you to give me what's mine. Give it to me now. You know what the worst thing I've ever seen was a child in Walmart one day jumping up and down, screaming and hollering, demanding that her mom give her something. And I'm standing back thinking, lady, why don't you slap this kid from across the store over there? We don't spank our children. We just let them be what they're going to be. You know, you know what that's like? Planting a garden and say, grow and be what you're going to be. I'm serious. Now, some of you say, oh, you meddling this morning. You trying to tell us how to raise our kids. No, I'm not. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. I'm telling you what His Word says this morning. If you take it, you know what's wrong? That's what's wrong with our society today. If you say one little thing out of the way, oh, you've hurt my feelings. Oh, my goodness, I can't take it no longer. You've hurt my feelings. You have offended me. You know what the Word of God says? It is an offense unto those that are perishing. Yes, indeed. If it's an offense to you, take it up with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because it's His words. Praise God. Sometimes we need to be offended. We need to be shocked back into reality. We don't like for people to tell us when we're doing wrong. But you know, sometimes I need to be told I'm doing wrong. And it makes me think. My dad said, you got two choices, son. You either go in the military or get a job. You're not going to lay around here and loaf. How many of you know what the word loaf means? Don't mean bread either. You're not going to lay around here, watch TV, drink sodas, and eat popcorn and candy and everything else, and me and your mom's over here working, trying to make a living. You ain't going to be standing there like that. Too much of that going on today in our society. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Because I deserve it. You owe it to me. No, I don't owe you anything. I've already given it to you. I raised 5 children myself, me and my wife. We gave them what we could, but we gave them the Word of God. We gave them love, and we took care of them. We didn't abuse them. Sometimes they may have thought it was abuse, but we didn't think it was abuse at the time. But, you know, I mean. So guess what I did? I joined the Marines. Oh, my goodness, when I got to Parris Island, South Carolina, and that DI jumped up on that bus and hollered, "The picnic is over." And he put that big boot in the backside of my body. When I stepped off of that truck, I knew then I had made a huge mistake, and I wanted to go back home, but it was too late. Yes, indeed. I got what I asked for. This young man got what he asked for. "Father, give it to me. I want it all." Here Christ is talking. He's talking to these scribes and these Pharisees and these tax collectors. And he shows them the proud Pharisees that these tax collectors and sinners whom they hated were their brothers. And that they should be glad to see any kindness showed to them in respect human beings are having different characters. We all have different characters, don't we? How many of you have more than one child? I'll get it. See, that's how I told you, country. Children. I could call them chaps. Each one of them has a different character from the other, doesn't it? They're not alike. You're not alike like your siblings. Thank God we're not. Yes, indeed. And I thank God all my children are not alike either. But I thank God for them just the same. But and God works with our characters. He works with our personalities. And thank God for that. And God was showing you need to love instead of hating them. Thank God that there's some kindness being shown. Thank God that there's kindness shown to my brothers and sisters. And today we need to lift up that Jewish community in Pittsburgh today. We need to show them kindness. We need to comfort them wherewith we have been comforted and pray for that group. You know, people say, "Pray for me," or "Pray for this group." And we say, "Okay." What I found out is when that happens, pray immediately. Because if you go away, it's going to slip your mind. And then they come back and say, "Oh, thank you for praying for me." And then there you stand. Ooh. I forgot it. What a terrible thing. Pray immediately for those and love on those and ask God's compassion on them that they may be comforted like we were comforted. Now, two different sons. One a solid, serious young man. And he was a stable person. He would follow his education and not be easily drawn aside from it. The other was a volatile and impatient with any restraint, wanting to leave home and travel, wanting to try his luck. If he fell into bad company, he would become what he hung around. That was me. When I began to read this, I began to see me in this. I began to see my life. I want to go. I'm leaving home. I'm quitting school. I'm going to do what I want to do. Then go in the military or you get a job. So I chose the military. I didn't get better in the military. I became more wiser. I became more grown up. But what I was around, I became worse in my character. I wasn't the most pleasant person to be around. Even after I got out and before I came to the Lord. I had lots of problems, lots of anger, and just flattered mean to people.
would say anything and do anything. He wanted his part now. Give it to me. Give me what's mine now, and I will renounce all my future rights to the estate. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living, righteous living. He just threw it all away on this and on that. How many of you know what happens when you do that? When you begin to waste the talents that God has given you. You know, Paul said we need to fan into flames those gifts that God has given us. Now, granted, it's probably, I'm not going to say two or three, but I'm going to say a lot in this service today that have talents. A gift that God has given you that you haven't used at all, or you haven't used in years. And you're just letting it lay there. God didn't give you that talent for you not to use, but He gave you that talent so that you would use it for His glory. You see, people... That's how people are touched by other people, by you using what God has given you to touch other people's lives with. And you say, well, I don't know what my talent is. Seek God. Ask God what your talent is. You know what? That's the problem with us a lot of times. We don't ask. If we would just ask sometimes, ask God, and go to Him in prayer. You see, that's the thing. We have stopped praying like we used to, and now we pray when it's a must, or when it strikes us, or when we get that good feeling to pray, then maybe we'll pray and seek God's faith. Now, let me stop right there, because just like I said, you got to be careful what you say. I'm not saying that you're like that. Did you hear what I said? I said we. Me included. You see, when I study the Word of God and God gives me a word, I've got to study it, and then I've got to sit there while the Holy Spirit begins to deal with my heart. And allow God to use us and not get offended when the Word of God hits us right between the eyes. You know how many times I've been hit between the eyes? Boy, if you could see spiritually, I'd look like a raccoon. Yes, sir. I would. I had a buddy of mine come to work one morning. I said, oh, boy, you got that raccoon look this morning. What happened to you? He did. Both of his eyes were black. Now, I'm not going to tell you why. But it wasn't good. The foolishness of sinners is being content with having their share now to receive good things in this lifetime. In Luke 16:25, Abraham tells the rich man, but Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received the good things. You see, we want it now. We are now generation. Give it to me now. And the bad part of this is that we never, the foolishness of sinners is being content with having their share now to receive good things in a lifetime and not looking towards the future or what's going to happen. We want it right now. We don't care what's going to happen next. Now, I'm kind of like that when I buy stuff. I want it now. Man, I don't want to wait. If I go to a store and then God, they say, we can order it. I say, nope. I'm going to a store where I can find it. I want it right now. But when it comes down to the things of God, I know one thing. I'm going to wait on God. Because it's going to be done in His time and in His time alone. We can't rush God.
Sometimes we want to rush God, and we want things to happen in the way that we want it, but how many of you know it's going to happen the way God wants it to happen? You know, you can stamp your feet at God, and you can run and tell God, I want to do it my way, but listen, let me tell you something. You're going to make a mess of it. Just like this young man here. I want it right now. God, give it to me. I want you, Father, give me my part so I can go out and spend it. I don't trust you with it. Lord, Father, give it to me. Let me, I can do better with it than you can. Our Father knows best, doesn't he? He knows what we can do. He was tired of his father's control. Psalms 2 verse 3 says, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. We want to get away from home. We want to get away from under God's rule. We want to do our thing and we want to do it our way, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. This young man began to tell his father, I want to do it my way. I want to do and I want to go and I want to sow my wild oats. And you know, we're a lot like that. We all want to sow our wild oats, and then we want to pray for a crop failure. Oh, yeah. But you know what? There comes a payday. We can be rebellious. We can be rebellious towards our home and our family, and we can be rebellious towards God. But sooner or later, we'll stop. And we got to pay up. Payday comes. You know who? I want to tell you something. My wife, and I'm not going to pick on our good doctor here today. I'm going to pick on the nurse practitioner. I can do that because that's my wife. Oh, they can prescribe all this good medicine for you and everything, tell you how to take it and all that stuff, man. Oh, it's good for you. Take it. Oh, it's the nastiest stuff in the world. That's okay. It's good for you. Take it. But then when they get sick, you know, here's what you gave me. You take some of it. I ain't taking that stuff. But you told me it was good for me. It might have been good for you, but I don't want it. They're the worst patients. Yeah, that's the way we are. Yes, sir, that's the way we are. When it comes around, we don't want it. Oh, man. You know the old go around? What goes around comes around? Well, when comes around comes, we're not ready to receive, are we? Oh, no, we're not. I want to be rebellious. I want to do my thing. I want to do it my way. That's what we say. But then when we get our way, when God allows us to have our way, and we go out into the world and we begin to do the things that are not right and pleasing unto God, then sooner or later payday comes. And then we begin to realize that we have squandered away what we should have kept and we should have done. We begin to squander those things. And then we begin to realize, oh, wait a minute. I ain't got money enough to pay for this bread. Where did all my money go? Where did all my talents go? Where did everything that I have, where did it go to? All my friends said that they would help me, and that I didn't need to be at home. I didn't need to listen to God. I didn't need to pay any attention to that pastor when he was preaching, or that youth leader when he was speaking and teaching me about the Word of God. I didn't need those things. I didn't need it. I thought my friend said it was okay. You see, that's the way the enemy of our soul is. He makes it look so good. He paints such a beautiful picture and makes you think that everything is so good. How many of you know that he can't give anything good? He comes to seek, to steal, and to destroy. He can't give you anything that's nourishing or good for the soul, but he can take away if you allow him to. It comes from our rebellion. And how many of you know that sin is rebellion? No matter how small you think that sin is, it's rebellion against God. And how many of you know that you got to repent of that thing? You can't let it go. It has to be repented of. It's the Word of God. It's what His Word says. This is what He teaches us. He thought how bad his condition was. I'm hungry. You see, he threw all his money away. He spent it on righteous living. Oh, he potted, bought clothes. He did everything. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. How many of you know that we don't know what tomorrow holds? We don't know what's coming down the pike. We need to be prayed up, don't we? We need to have our eyes on the Master. And we need to be in His corner. Because we never know what's going to happen. So you see, this young man, he thought everything was fine. He got exactly what he wanted. Then all of a sudden, Jesus said there was a great famine. Jobs were gone. All the money had been spent. There was nothing left. Nobody to turn to. He was away from home. He couldn't go back. He couldn't go into his father's and go in and slide his feet back up under his father's table because he was too far away, wasn't he? But then he began to do something. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. How many of you know who that citizen was? It was the enemy of his soul. That's through the citizen. Our country is the enemy of our souls. You see, we begin to lean not to the understanding of God, but we begin to lean to our understanding, and we begin to think, well, I can take care of this. I can get through this. I can work my way through this. It doesn't work that way, does it? But it's when we lean to the understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Word of God teaches me that He will make my way straight. Oh, it might not be the direction that I want, but it's going to be in the right direction. That's what God's Word says. You see, when I left home, I thought I was headed in the right direction. Now, I ended up in the military, and the military taught me a lot of good things. But I also learned a lot of bad things in that as well. And it took me to Vietnam for almost 2 years fighting a war. And even then, the Holy Spirit dealt with me. Even then, the Holy Spirit dealt with me. I can remember that. I haven't forgotten that to this day when I laid in that elephant grass over my head. I couldn't see my buddy 2 feet from me. And not knowing any minute that I'm going to die. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And He began to tell me, if you will just give your life to me, I will take you from all of this, and I will give you a peace in your heart. And again, I was rebellious. Rebellious again, and turned down what God was offering me. So was this young man. He had it all. All he had to do was stay at home. He had everything there. All he had to do was stay there. He had everything that he ever, he had clothing, he had food, he had everything. He had a nice home, warm, nice. Everything was just laid up. You know what? Same way with you and I. When we are in that ark of safety with our Lord and our Savior, we have it all. Our Heavenly Father withholds no good thing from us. All good and perfect gifts come from the Father above. Hallelujah. You stop and think about that. You might be broke, and so broke that you can't pay attention, but you know what? If you have Jesus Christ, you have everything. You see, my Father, you stop and think about this, what this word says. My Father owns the earth and the fullness thereof. In other words, He owns everything. He even owns your wallet. I'm talking about the wallet now. Some of you probably heard me tell this, but you know what? I always tell what the Holy Spirit brings to my remembrance.
see, that's his job as our remembrancer. Church getting robbed one morning. Oh, and it just happened to be a Pentecostal church. This is a true story. Church getting robbed. Young man go rob the church. All right, okay, brother. But just don't hurt nobody. You know, take it all. Take it off and plate. Get it all. How many of you know that greed sets in? When we begin to get things, you know, and we begin to make our way, then greed sets in. And we don't want to do what God wants us to do. Oh, I can't give this because, man, you know, that's an awful lot of money for me to give, but I got a plenty, but that's still an awful lot for me to give. Greed set in on this young man. You see, he wasn't satisfied with the offering, so he said, now I want everybody to take everything out of your pockets. Oh, boy. Oh, that just struck something fierce in people. No, look at here. You can preach and say all that you want to, but don't go talk about my wallet. And as the story went, the first one to hit him was the preacher's son. He got what he didn't come out looking for that day, and he left with nothing. You have to be careful because sometimes we leave with nothing, don't we? When we want it our way and we have it our way, and when we allow greed and the things of this world to creep into our lives, we end up with nothing. He thought how much better it would be if he returned. You see, he was so hungry. He had become so hungry. And he had nothing left. And he began to realize, and this is the point that I like, he says, and he began to realize, he thought how much better, and he began to think about home. He began to think about how much better it was where he was at home than where he is now. He says, it would be if he returned. It would be better if he returned. He began to think about what the servants of his father's house had. The Word of God says they had enough and more. You got the scripture there. I guess you got your Bible open. It's what he said. He said, my father's servants got more. And not only have they got enough, they've got extra. And I don't have any. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you're poor and wretched. I'm not calling you a name. I'm just telling you, you're poor and wretched. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I was the chiefest of sinners until I found Jesus. I was naked and afraid. I was lost and undone. I had nothing till I went home. You see, I knew what was in my father's house. There was always room in my father's house. I knew this. And I could go home whenever I wanted to. And I knew my father would welcome me and my mom. Regardless of the things that I said or the things that I've done. And I said some terrible things when I was at home. I told my mom, I'm going to be just as transparent with you as I can this morning. And I hope it doesn't make you think bad of me. But God has forgiven me and my parents have forgiven me. I cursed my mom. And I told her, stay out of my life. Basically what this young man did. My mom would try to get me to come to church when I was at home. And my mom would say to me, son, why don't you come up and meet some of those nice young girls at church, the good Christian girls. I said, I wouldn't spit on one of them. I know that sounds harsh this morning. But you see, that's where we are when we're far from Christ. That's what happens when we find ourselves eating with the swine, when we've gone our way and says, I'm going to do it my way. Leave me alone. That's what our life becomes. I don't boast on that this morning. But my mom forgave me. My parents forgave me, and there was always room for me in my mom and my dad's home. There was always a place for me to sleep. There was food for me to eat, and there was abundance of love. Even though I was rebellious, there was abundance of love. And in my Father's house today, there's an abundance of love for you. You may have been down that path, the same path that this young man took, or the path that I took. But let me tell you something. You have never done anything that your Heavenly Father won't forgive you for and welcome you with open arms. I don't know who you are this morning or who this message is for. You might be saying, well, brother, you're preaching to the choir this morning. Well, somebody in the choir needed it because God gave it to me. And you're not here just by chance, but you're here by divine appointment. And God is speaking to your heart this morning. Don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. I want to tell you the saddest thing in my life. So I watched my mom die. My dad died in my arms. That was sad too. But when my mom died, I sat there and listened to her. And the last thing she said, son, forgive me if I've done anything to you. That broke my heart because I knew my mom hadn't done anything to me. She had showed me love, and she told me about Jesus, and I saw it in them. They didn't only tell me, but I saw the faith that they had in Jesus Christ. And I learned a lot of things from them through their walk. But that cut to the quick for me when she apologized to me. I said, you don't have to apologize to me for anything. But you see, I'd already made things right long before that. But to sit and hear my mother apologize to me, it cut me. You know what? All our Heavenly Father wants is for you to come to him and throw all your cares on him. He wants to turn your life around. He wants to take all of that rebellion and all that hate and that anxiety away and replace it with love. Yes. Oh, yes. You see, when I gave my life to Christ, when I turned my life over to him, my life turned around 360 degrees. I was no longer a person people didn't want to be around because of my mouth. But now, I was singing a new tune. Hallelujah. You see, I come to my senses like this young man did. And he thought to himself, oh, how much better it would be if I were to go home. Let me tell you something. Years ago, I was a youth leader here. And I would take the group. My wife was in my youth group, she'll tell you. I mean, I was a Sunday school teacher, too. But we would take a group over to the detention center with all the young people. And we would go over and we would talk, sit down and talk with them. We never preached to them, but we witnessed to them. And we would have refreshments and games, and then we would talk to them, and we would let them talk. I would always tell the group that went with me, I don't want you sitting in your group. I want you to intermingle with them, and I want you to listen to what they're saying to you. And I remember one young man in particular. He began to tell me about his life. He says, I left home. I want to go back home, but I can't. I can't, he said. Let me tell you something. You may be far from Jesus. You may have been running for a long time. But I'm here to tell you today, the Word of God says you can come home. You can come back to Jesus.
because he's going to welcome you with open arms. And as the word goes, he said, and he put the robe on him. You see, he didn't welcome him back as a servant. The young man finally come to himself, and he went back home. And he rehearsed what he was going to say before he got there. How many of you ever do those things? You talk to yourself, this is how I'm going to, I want to make things right. This is the way I'm going to do it. And this is what I'm going to say when I get there. This is exactly what he done. The words are there. He says, I'm going to tell my father. I'm going to tell him, oh, what a beautiful picture of someone repenting. I'm going to tell him that I'm sorry and that I've sinned against him and I've sinned against God. I've sinned against God, and I did it in my Father's presence. He went back home. He rehearsed it. And his father could see him coming a long way. Oh, can you see that dad? Oh, the joy that was there. That's my son. That's my son. You know, when I got her to basic training, I took the train home. I didn't know any better than to take a train. I should have took a bus. I had an 8-hour layover in Richmond. So when I finally got here, there was a crowd. They had waited that long. A crowd waiting for me to come home. Oh, what a reunion. You see, I was coming back different from what I left. And oh, what a reunion between you and your Savior is when that sinner comes home. And he throws himself at the mercy of God. This young man said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to tell him I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize, and I know I'm not worthy. I don't have anything coming to me, none of the estate or nothing like that. I just want to be a servant in my Father's house. I that's all I want to be, is just a servant. And if he will take me, that's what I will be. I will be a servant. But that's what I'm going to ask him. That's what I'm going to say to him. Just make me a servant. So when he saw him coming, he began to run. And the Word of God said he embraced his son. And he fell on him and loved him and kissed him on the neck. And the son began to speak the things that he had rehearsed. He began to speak the words that he had rehearsed, what he was going to say. And before he could get out of his mouth, just make me a servant, his father interrupted him. You see, the son didn't forget what he wanted to say, and he didn't change his mind. But the father interrupted him. He didn't want him to say it. This is my son that was lost, but now he's found. Oh, stop and think, what a beautiful picture of a sinner and our loving Heavenly Father. You see, he didn't tell his son, well, now you made your bed hard, you got to lay in it. He didn't begin to tell him, I told you so. But he began to love on him, didn't he? You know, so many times that's what we want to do. We want to, we just want to get right at them and tell them, well, I told you. You see how, what a mess you made of your life? Mm-hmm. No. We got to be like our loving Heavenly Father, don't we? Come on home. Come on home. I've got plenty of room for you. There's always room in my Father's house. There's always plenty to eat in my Father's house. And you are welcome, son. You are welcome, daughter. Just come on. Oh, praise God. And the father began to love on the son. And he commanded the servant, oh, bring the best robe. Bring the ring, the signet ring. It was like given him a credit card, that signet ring was. Although he had spent his part, the father said, bring the ring and put it on his finger. Praise God. You see, that's the way our Lord and Savior is. He forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And he puts that clothes, that robe of righteousness on us when we accept him as Savior and Lord. You see, I come home. I was still rebellious. I grew worse as the time went by. But sooner or later, me, like the prodigal, I came to my senses. You know, a lot of times, God lets us go. Then we come to our senses and we remember where we were and where we are. And we begin to think, oh, wait a minute. This is not right. This isn't what my father's about. He's far better than this. And I was taught better than this. I was taught better than that. But yet, I was welcomed back home. Hallelujah. Wasn't long, maybe a year or so, I came to church. I came to the church that I'd rebelled against. And the Lord that I had rebelled against. You see, I wasn't rebelling against my parents. I was rebelling against the one that they were serving. And I came to my senses and I knelt at an altar and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You see, and my father and my mother and my heavenly father welcomed me with open arms. They loved on me. Hallelujah. And I got to be with both of my parents. In fact, I had a part in my parents' life for the last few years of their life. My mom lived with me for about 9 years. We took it. My wife was so gracious enough to agree to that. It wasn't something that I demanded. But, you know, her and my mama got along better than I didn't like what they did. They conspired against me a lot. My dad, he lived there not with us, but on the place. We got them a home, and they lived there until they passed away. But I got to spend all that time with the two that I rebelled so hard against. And I'm spending more time with Jesus. And one of these days, I'm going home. You see, I'm not home yet, but I'm going home. And I'm going to go to my heavenly Father. As Paul said it, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, what the righteous judge himself will give to me on that day. And I want to hear my Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Your home, son. Come on in and enjoy. And enjoy what I have prepared for you. Oh, what a wonderful day. What a wonderful day, like the song said, and what a glorious way. Oh, man. Thank God for his love and his mercy and his goodness and his grace. Aren't you glad that we have a loving Heavenly Father? That it makes no difference what we've done. We can come in and ask forgiveness, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and never bring them against us anymore. I think it was in Isaiah. It was in Jeremiah 31:34. It says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me,
from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities and their sins I will remember no more. Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad? You see, I laid some stuff out on you today about my life, but you just keep yours to yourself. That way you can't tell the pastor I was crying in your business. But you know what? I'm forgiven. Not only by my Lord and my Savior, but by my parents I was forgiven. And I was loved, and I'm loved today. And one of these days, you know, I'm going to preach a funeral tomorrow, and that lost loved one's going to be gone. But you know, the one thing that we have in the back of our minds, I like what Paul said, we don't mourn like those that have no hope, because we have a hope in Jesus. We hope in the resurrection. But one day, I'm going to see them again. You know, we look at the grave as the end, but it's not the end. Death is only the beginning of life. It's everlasting life. It's eternity with Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says, and David spoke to his servants after he had prayed and fasted, and one bathed himself, and he got up. And he began to bathe, and he went in, and he began to eat. And they said, why? He said, well, I prayed, and I sought God. And I thought, maybe, just maybe, God would spare the child. But he didn't. He says, but it's one thing I know. I can't bring him back. But this I know, I can go to where he's at. You see, we will see our loved ones again one of these days if we give our lives to Christ and serve him and faithful to him. You got to put that faithful in there. You see, we have to be faithful in our walk with Jesus. This young man went home. He went back home and he fell on his father, merciless, and his father welcomed him with open arms. You see, he came home in rags, and he wasn't worthy to be called a son, but he was more than a son. In the end, he came home in rags, but he was adorned. He was adorned, robe and ring. The Word of God said, we're going to wear a robe and a crown. Hallelujah. A robe and a crown, a robe of righteousness, and a crown that we're going to take off and we're going to lay at the Master's feet. You know, I don't know your life today. Maybe you've been rebellious and maybe you're running. Maybe you've run for a long time and all of a sudden you're beginning to faint now. I need to stop running. And oh, don't let the enemy of your soul, you see, the enemy of your soul will tell you you've got plenty of time. Great to have your good time. Sow your wild oats and do your thing, and then the older you can think about it. Listen, take a walk, take a stroll through the cemetery. Look at the tombstones. Pay close attention to the dates. You'll find there's a lot of young people there. A lot of young people. Don't let the enemy of your soul tell you that you've got plenty of time, or maybe I'll put it off another day. Tomorrow may never come. You might not know. He said, James says, what is tomorrow? Why do you make all these boasts and say you're going to do this and you're going to do that? You see, that was what was going on. These men were boasting how they were going to go in the city and buy and sell. And James says, how can you sit there and say that? For you don't even know what tomorrow holds. He said, what is your life? He asked the question, what is your life? And then he answers that question. He said, it's like a vapor. It's like a breath on a cold morning.
and you see your breath, and then poof, it just vanishes. That's the way our lives are, you see. That's the way your life's going to be. Young people, let me tell you, especially you young people, you think you got it all, and you think you know it all, and you've got your plans laid out. That's good. That's good to make plans. But don't ever for one time think you got it in control. You let Jesus control and work, and you work in his plan. And oh, let me tell you something, you will be the better for it. You will be the better for it. And watch how God directs your path and follow in those directions. You young people that are in school and college, you listen to the voice of God. You take good advice. We have an old saying in the country about taking advice. Chew up the meat and spit out the bones. You get the gist of what I'm saying? You take the good advice and throw away the bad. Follow the Lord and you won't go wrong. Thank you. Father, thank you for this word today, Lord. God, this is the word that you gave me, Father. This is the word, Father, that you spoke to my heart. God, I pray that this word doesn't fall on deaf ears this morning, Father, but you will take that word and use it for the glory of God. Lord, that you would touch a heart this morning, Father, that a soul may be touched. God, that a wayward soul, Lord, a rebellious son, a rebellious daughter, Father, would find their way home, Lord, to you, God. Someone who, Lord, has been contemplating going astray, God, would turn back from that and run back to you, Lord. Because we know that you will receive them, Lord, with open arms, Lord, and welcome them back into the fold. Lord, I ask you today, God, that you would move in these young people's lives today, and each and every person that is under the sound of my voice today, God. Lord, that we won't leave here like we came, Lord, but we will be touched by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. God, that our lives would change, Lord, that we would come to our senses, God, and come home. Home to you, Father. There's always room in our Father's house. There's always food on our Father's table. What a loving Heavenly Father we have. One that looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. The one that takes our sins when we confess them and cast them far as the east is from the west, never to bring them against us. Oh, Father, what a wonderful, loving, heavenly Father you are. Father, thank you today, Lord, for your word and your goodness and your grace. Thank you for using your servant today, Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Well, I know today in my heart, God, I couldn't present this word were it not for you. Lord, as I look at my life, how down through the years you have kept me, Father. Lord, you have used me and blessed me, Lord, and I'm so thankful to that today. Not that I'm somebody, but God, that you're everything, Lord. That you're everything, Father. And I know in my heart I can do nothing without you. Outside of you, I can do nothing. But Lord, with you and through you, all things are possible, Lord. And you may be here today and you may be saying, but you don't understand. No, I don't know your life, but my loving Heavenly Father knows you. He says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Every day of your life has been planned out. He said, I know when a hair falls out of your head. You see, he knows what your life is. You see, this father knew where this son was coming from. He knew what had happened, but yet he was willing to receive him and welcome him home with open arms
and not say, I told you so. You see, that's our Heavenly Father. You see, He wants you to come to Him and confess your sins and your faults before Him. You see, that's what the Word of God teaches us, that we have to confess. That confession has to be made. No sin shall go unpunished. But when we repent, our Father welcomes us back. Maybe you're here today, and you've been running for a long time. Well, today is the day to stop running. Instead of running from God, run to Him this morning. Open your heart to Him today. I don't know who you are. God knows who you are. Maybe you're a young person here and you've been rebellious, just like I was to my parents. Maybe you're rebellious. And you're saying to yourself, I can't go back home. How do you know you can't go back home unless you try? How do you know unless you ask? And you go back in humility like this young man did and said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight I have sinned. And before he could get the words out of his mouth, his Father welcomed him back and wouldn't let him finish the statement that he made. He never got to finish that statement. I'll just be a servant. No, you're going to be a son. You see, that's what he wants this morning. He wants you to come to him not as a servant, but a son. Hallelujah. Or daughter. He wants to welcome you today with open arms. Won't you come? Won't you come today? Oh, don't turn him away. Don't be embarrassed. You see, our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He will never embarrass you. He won't force himself on you. You see, this father didn't force this young man. He gave him what he asked for. He allowed him to go his way. That's the way our Father is. He's not a dictator. He's a Savior. He wants to welcome you today with loving arms, and if you will come to him. Maybe you say, well, I don't want to walk up in front of everybody. Okay, then, right there in your seat today, you just bow your head and you do the same thing. You see, it's no certain, there's no certain way, no certain prayer that you have to pray, but just like this young man, you can say the same thing that he did. Father, I have sinned. I've sinned against heaven. And I need forgiveness today. I want to come home. Lord, I want to serve you. God, will you forgive me of my sins? Let me tell you something. If you will pray that prayer, God will honor it. And he will forgive you. And he will take that hurt and that pain and that old sinful life. And he will cast away. And he won't bring those sins against you anymore. Now, I don't know who you are today, but I've given you the invitation. And these altars are open today. If you want to come and pray and seek God and cry out to God, you come right on and I'll pray with you. If you don't want to come to the altar, right there in your pew where you are, right where you are, Christ will be there also. Yes, he will. That's his word. That's his word. And we need to stand upon the word of God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name.